Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Ulfam, Episode 21, A Diagnosis of Danger.
I love it. I love that mask. I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Carrie.
Guys, welcome back to Dungeons & Junkies. It's already kicking off here. Mayhem is always ensuing. So let's just continue that flow with our DM for the day. Hey, Chad.
Oh, why hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the terrible and wonderful world of my creation, Escape from Ulfam, which I don't think I've ever really mentioned it. The name is completely a ripoff slash parody of the Escape from New York or Escape from LA series, if you've ever seen those movies. Just in case anyone out there hadn't thought about that. Just wanted
Diesel to manage to say it right yet?
No, he never will. Never, ever.
No. We're a year now. He still can't say it right. It's either that, and Russian names. He can't do them either.
You know, everyone's just got their issues. But with that, it's Escape from Ulfam time. You know, it gets weird sometimes, then it gets dark, and then it gets funny, and then it gets real dark. But before we can get to that, why don't we go around the table and introduce who we'll all be playing tonight. Today, we start with Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I play my favorite angry son, Damien. No last name given, because I forgot to give him one. With his pet raven, Julius, and his spicy 7 current health.
Woo! And yes, folks, for the value of the tape, everyone will be giving what their current HP is when we start this session today. Because, yeah, shit's got real in the hospital already. We now go over, though, to Carrie.
Hi, I'm Carrie. Wait, you knew that bit already. I will be playing my favorite son, Varian Nathine, the wood elf warlock slash wizard. The world's okayest warlock, actually. Now I feel a bit bad for mentioning that I have 25 HP. Because I managed to avoid Wyatt's area of effect.
You're stocked with health over there. With that, since he was mentioned, let's drop down to Matt.
Yes, I am Matt, and I am playing Detective Wyatt Stanton, who is literally a DM's worst nightmare, because he can do everything but not at the same time. Yeah, he's a Power Ranger, and he has 9 HP left.
Ooh!
That's 0. Collateral damage, though.
And finally, we move on to Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex, and today I'm playing Avery, the Blade Singer Azamar, who I thought it was quite bad, but it doesn't seem so bad now. Has 15 HP remaining.
Ooh, I have double figures.
Mm. You're the same as me and Caitlin combined.
And yes, as stated before, I am Chad, and will be everyone else in this world. And also, for the value of the tape, Dorian McSteamy, the Fire Ganassi Doctor, who is with the party, just so you are all aware as well, is sitting at a cool 10 HP. We now jump back into the recap of what has happened so far. The gang has found themselves still trapped within Ganymede General, with Dr. Dorian McSteaming leading the way through this chaotic hospital. They battled their way through the sky bridge. They snuck their way down a, you know, decent-sized hallway. It took them days, it's felt, but they did get down the hallway. And they managed to avoid the Goliath static-eyed zombie from taking off any of their heads or infecting any of them. They did manage to learn, though, how this infection seems to be spreading, as they did see this Goliath get infected with this black sludge-like vomit from another infected individual. The gang kept going, making their way finally down to general care, a massive, huge, sprawling floor that houses hundreds of, you know, thousands of people at times. The floor, dark except for the flashing of the warning lights. The gang kept going, finding themselves in front of a group of static-eyed zombies where Dorian McSteamy, unfortunately, couldn't hold his tongue and alerted them to your presence. They turned and chased you into the staff lounge, where you climbed into a ventilation duct and tried to make your escape slowly across the ceiling, evading the zombies for the time. Unfortunately, as you reached the end of the ventilation duct, as Avery was hanging down, trying to get a better vantage point and getting ready to drop himself down to make a stealthy landing, a loud creak was heard, and a loud crack and crunch was heard as the roof itself began to crumble and the entire pit of ventilation tubing that you are in crashes, falling straight down. We're actually going to pop into, though, this moment as the ventilation tube is falling. Avery, you on the outside, it's very odd as this begins to fall because you literally get raised back into the hole of the ventilation tube and are yourself weightless for a moment. And as you're weightless, suddenly your mind flashes and you think of your last moments being alive for a second and having Quinlith in front of you and everything goes white. And then suddenly you're falling in total blackness, but not with anyone around you now. This is in your mind. You don't know what is happening. You're falling. And falling. Suddenly you hear a very comforting voice.
You did it. You stopped her.
You keep falling. You don't see anything. The voice, though, fills you with a sense of comfort for a second before, as you keep falling, the darkness around you begins to crack with red energy. Small little splinters in the darkness around you as pieces of the blackness begin to fade away and red lights start to shine through. You're still falling, but suddenly as you're falling, you slowly feel yourself slowing as these cracks and suddenly you're no longer in a black void. You're in a bright red vortex of energy as a woman's voice. I will not go quietly. And as you're falling, you've been facing down this whole time, you realize, because below you, the ground begins to swirl with a red and black energy. And suddenly it's... You immediately are upon it and you splash into this vortex. At this moment, you come back into reality as your head hits the top of this ventilation tube and boom, falling straight down and boom, a huge explosion of rubble and chaos as you all took the damage that I described last time. But as you all hit the ground, all of you, for a second, bounced in there. All of you lose consciousness for 1 second. Your brain's shaking too much. And Wyatt, as you go unconscious for this moment, your brain flashes back. Flashes back to an old case. 100 years ago. We flash in on a scene. Wyatt, you're sitting on the first floor bar of Mrs. Lovett's Meat Pie Emporium. A gross meat pie sits in front of you. The first floor is, of course, where it's the common floor, and no one really knows what they use in these ones, but if you're looking for a cheap meal and a cheap drink, coming to the first floor of the Meat Pie Emporium is always what's for. So you're not there to eat, Wyatt. You're casing the joint. If your intel's right, he's gonna be here tonight. The Snatcher has plagued Ganymede Square for the past 6 years. Bodies, people go missing. Sometimes two, three a week. Sometimes only one every few months. But the same ending always results with discarded pieces of the bodies left in the streets of Ganymede. Always for you to find. Always missing different parts and different pieces, and never the same type of creature. Always different. It's impossible, it seems, to track what this person is after. It's taken you 6 years of leads going dead and losing people that you thought you could save. But tonight, you sit at this bar, picking at this meat pie with a beer in front of you. Wyatt, I need you to make me a perception check.
Perception in a flashback, that's okay. Okay, so perception check. Okay. It's a crit one.
Wyatt,
unfortunately.
You, as you're looking towards the door, waiting for someone to enter, suddenly in front of you, the bartender drops a glass and shattered, diverting your attention. And everything for a second in the entire first floor goes quiet. Because you know when a glass shatters, for some reason, that's a sign that everyone stops talking just for that second. And it's eerily quiet for a moment as the door to the front door opens. In with a odd, almost too wide smile on its left side caused by a huge scar. Its green mottled skin, almost like pukish green, like a nasty colored green. Its huge hobgoblin-like hair coming back, his ears sticking out as he walks in, always with that weird cocky smirk on the side of his face. He walks in and takes a table near the kitchen door, sits down with his back towards you. This is your mark, Wyatt. That scar's on this thing, or that scar can't be on anyone else. It's your one and only lead that you've ever had on him. For the 1 second that last victim survived, as you found the parts on the street. What would you like to do, Wyatt?
I will check to make sure my pistol is at easy reach, and then I would like to, as quietly as possible, make my way over to stand behind him.
Okay. Please make me a stealth check.
Okay, that is a dirty 21.
Wyatt, this place is a mad cacophony of noise. The first floor of the Lovett's Meat Pie Emporium is always packed with people coming and going, just getting a meat pie, some leaving, some taking residence in the multitude of just small, grungy tables they have about. So you make your way, hand on your pistol, just, you know, keeping yourself low, but just high enough so you can keep your eyes on the back of his head. He hasn't moved at all. A meat pie has been placed in front of him. He's already just with his hands, just shoveling pieces of it into his mouth. You get within about 5 feet right behind him before you stop.
I will take my gun out and I will hold it maybe 3 inches behind the back of his head. And I will say, Ganymede PD, do not move or I will blow your fucking brains out.
Wyatt, I need you to make me a constitution saving throw real quick.
I am good at constitution. That is 19 plus 5, 24.
Wyatt, as you say this, a human female to your left sees the gun pulled out and screams at the top of her lungs. And for a split second, you can feel your head turn for a second, and this hobgoblin in front of you, with extreme speed and accuracy, grabs the rest of their meat pie, and in one turn, with their left hand, spins, hitting your gun and throwing the meat pie. You duck under the meat pie, but the hobgoblin sprints forward, diving in through the kitchen door.
I dive after him.
You bang through the kitchen door into just a huge, massive just line of ovens and grills. And you see the hobgoblin like banging his way through all of these like halfling chefs and human chefs as he's going. Can you make a dexterity save for me real quick?
Dex?
Yep.
That's not so good. Only 18 all in.
As you begin to follow after him, he grabs another meat pie and whips it back at you. It splatters into your chest and you take 4 points of fire damage because it's boiling hot as he grabbed it just from like the conveyor belt of oven.
Am I taking it off my normal health?
No, just take the 4 points of damage in flashback terms, okay?
Okay, I will make sure that doesn't kill me in a flashback.
This is 100 years ago. Your health points at Ganymede General mean nothing right now.
I never know with you, Chad. I would ask. Okay.
Just haven't had a long rest in 100 years. Yeah.
It's just been awake this whole time.
It's been a long, long time.
You, after getting thwacked with this meat pie, some of these chefs and halfling cooks and everything start turning and yelling at you, "What the hell are you doing?
Ganymede PD, out the way!"
They look at you with a bit of like, "Fuck off, man, this is our place." And they see the gun in your hand and begin to like start clearing the way as the hobgoblin bangs out the back door of the kitchen.
I would like to head out the same door.
You, like, the door's already closed by the time you get there, because it does, even with them moving out of your way, you have to still, you know, struggle your way through these people. The hobgoblin got through there with extreme speed and accuracy. You, however, it takes a moment. You bang open the back door, and you look, and you can see the hobgoblin is sprinting across the road towards the graveyard across the way on Fleet Street.
I will do my best to try and keep up.
All right, make me a dexterity check.
Just check, yes? Okay.
Just check, yeah.
Okay, it doesn't say I have 19 plus 3, 22.
You actually managed to gain a little bit of ground on this hobgoblin. He's still a good 30 feet in front of you, though, keeping a good pace between you, but you get into the graveyard. And as he's going, suddenly he hits one of the like small tombstones, not a raised one, but one that's just in the ground. And he hits it and falls and tumbles as he is now laid and sprawled out on the ground.
I will race to him and I would like to aim my gun straight at his face.
Are you going to say anything, or are you just aiming your gun at him?
Yeah, just...
Yeah, you make it to him. Yep, you make it to him while he's on the ground before he can get back up. You actually kick him square in the chest before he can sit back up, and then you raise your gun, putting it towards his face.
Okay. I should kill you right here, right now, for everything you have done.
Whoa.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't.
Listen, man. I'm gonna tell you right now. I know I killed that last. I killed that last person you found. Yes, I did that. But I'm gonna tell you, man, this is something you don't understand. This goes way deeper than you understand. I'm just the middleman, man. I'm just out here helping this guy. I'm just trying to do my job.
Give me a name.
I can't. He will kill me, man.
You think I fucking won't?
I can't give you a name, man. He's way worse than the cops. What do I hear? He's a fucking cop.
I cock my pistol and bring it right to the bridge of his nose. I will pull my trigger. Give me a name, or you're good at it anyway. At least you got a chance. If you give me a name.
All right. All right, man. Can you promise? You promise you protect me?
I promise I'll do my best. I promise nothing to a... I promise nothing to you. You're a fucking murderer.
Man, with the information I have, you're going to want to protect me.
I'll do my best, but at the same time, I can't guarantee your survival. It is all farm after all.
Make a perception check, please.
Perception is 13, plus 315.
As you continue to bicker back and forth with him, instead of just promise a dying man anything to try and get the information out of him, you suddenly see his left eye goes completely, like, black. And you suddenly see he's, like, holding his hands up. No! I didn't say anything! And suddenly you see both of his eyes, the black one, suddenly goes pure static for a second before he just collapses over.
Fuck! Lieutenant would not be pleased about this. One fucking leaves. Damn it. Guess we'll have to fight. I'll have to get Jacob to get this guy later on. I give the body one last kick, and then just to make sure it's dead, I shoot it in the eyes.
Cool. Yes, you see Detective Wyatt Stanton kick the dead body of this hobgoblin, and then afterwards deliver a shot right between the eyes to, I guess, make sure the dead body is dead. And with that, Wyatt, your memory kind of fades away as suddenly you begin to hear yelling, and your memory fades back, and you have now have Damien standing right in your face. Get up!
Die in your own time!
I have no intention of dying.
Move!
Okay. I get back to my feet and I take in the surroundings around me now.
Yes, we come back to present day Ganymede, and here in Ganymede General, on the floor known as General Care, our adventurers find themselves amidst the rubble. All four of you stand up, as well as Dr. Dorian McSteamy, and you stand in the middle. If you don't remember, I will show the map again. You are right in the middle.
Okay.
As you are standing in the rubble, you all look behind you and see standing in front of the door that you went through before, 200 creatures of different varieties, humans, goblins, ganassi, elves, tieflings, kenku, orcs, monstrosities, minotaur, all just standing there and now all staring back at you. 200 sets of static eyes, all now staring.
This is a fight we can't win.
I'm gonna run. Bye.
I run.
I will also run. The doctor's with us, isn't he?
Yes. The doctor actually is already farther back and is near the reception desk and is trying to pilfer around behind the reception desk going, "Go! Go! I actually have an idea! I have an idea! Go! Get down the stairs!"
Thanks for leaving him.
G2FO. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll follow.
But we're just leaving him.
He has an idea.
Yeah, he has an idea. We have to trust him. He knows better than we do.
You can't
see. If he's going to die, let him die useful.
You can't currently see what he is doing. He's hopped behind the reception desk and is at this point probably a good 60 to 90 feet from you guys. He ran the minute you guys landed on the ground. And so you guys at this point are about, I would say, 200 feet from these stairs. So are you all just going to leg it?
Yes, as fast as I can. I'm still in suited mode, aren't I?
I thought you dropped it last time.
Yeah, I dropped it whilst we were, to save the energy before, okay.
It's about 120 feet from where the zombies are from you right now as well, so.
Right.
I'm merging with Julius because I go way faster as a bird.
Awesome.
50 foot baby.
Well, I just sprint as fast as you can.
Avery, Virian, are you both also just going to leg it?
Want to leave the doctor behind. If he's got... I don't know. I don't want to leave the doctor behind. Last time very left people behind, it ended really fucking badly. But I'm gonna... I'll run.
You all will actually be able, when you are running, if you make me all perception check as you're running by, if you can roll me a pretty good perception check, you might be able to see what the doctor is doing behind the reception desk as you go by it, as you all have to go around it.
14.
19 all in.
16.
25.
Very perceptive.
I'm a perceptive bird, okay?
Anyone who rolled over a 10, you can see at least that the doctor is fiddling with some sort of controls under the front part of the reception desk. Damien, you managed to see that it says sanitation controls on the panel that he is messing with. And as you all run by, he pops up, "Don't worry, I'm coming!" And he pops back down, and you see him fiddle with two more things before he hops over the desk and begins to run with you towards the set of staircase. Okay, we have to get in the stairs now. There, once we get down there, we're going to be in a massive sanitation tunnel. It's turned off right now. We have to get through it as quick as we can. We have about a minute before it turns on. After we get through it, it should stop any of them, for they're all infected. It'll burn them all on the way. But if we don't get through it, it will kill us all. I turned it all the way up.
No pressure. Okay.
Approving bird noises.
All right. I need you all to make me dexterity saving throws. You can do yours with advantage, Damien, as you are in bird mode.
Bird mode.
That's 17.
17
plus 4, 21.
Nice.
Wizards and dexterity don't go together.
You roll.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought it picked up on the camera. 12. Oh. Microphone, not camera. 12.
18.
Everyone besides Avery, you keep pace. You're totally fine. Avery, as you're running forward, you just make a bad decision and happen to glance over your shoulder at this mob of 200 creatures running after you, laughing and just all like levels of cackling and laughing as they're running after you, arms just like grabbing at the air as they're coming towards you, not even like trying to fully run, just like angry, like aggressive running where they're just grabbing at the air as they're coming after you. And you manage, as you turn back, you lose your footing for a second and you fall to the ground. And I need you right now to make me a dexterity save. And this one's a disadvantage to be able to get back up and keep going before at least one of these creatures is upon you.
That's not too bad. That was two 15s. So at 15, that I have plus 3, so 18.
Avery, you as you fall, you land on your knees and you quickly get back up to your feet and begin to sprint forward as you do feel a clawed hand slash at your back and you can hear a growl of some kind of creature behind you, but just barely misses you and whiffs air, and you hear a loud thud as it hits the ground behind you, as it clearly was putting all of this into trying to take you out with this one slash, and you keep on running. All right, you all make it to the staircase. Running down the stairs, you come to this, it's a huge, massive, wide, like 60-foot staircase as well, and you're sprinting down it, and you see two huge, once again, silver doors in front of you that the doctor, just run, keep running. They're automatic right now. Until it turns on, they're automatic. And the doctor begins to actually outpace the other three of you besides Julius. Just seemingly his fiery hair like flying in the back, almost like a mane of fire at this moment.
Oh, we're getting along.
Ah, Ponytail's arrived.
And I need one more dexterity save from all of you.
That's not 21 this time.
Dirty 20 this time.
16 plus 4, dirty 20.
You all, as you hit the third to last stair, these giant doors like fly open amazingly quick, and you suddenly find yourself in a sealed tube. It's a good, I would say, 120 feet wide, and it's about 90 feet deep, and you see the doctor just keeps running, and I need you all to make perception checks real quick.
20. Dirty
20. 21.
What was that?
I'm leaving my red dice out for sure.
17 all in.
Red dice for the wind.
Anyone who rolled above a 16, as you're running, you quickly scan around you, and you can see that there are all sorts of like weird contraptions and also different kinds of like arcane like writing all around the wall. You can see that just from the feeling of this, this tube could, you feel, probably eradicate most things with the way that it's been turned up. And you can feel that it's warming up. You can see that some of these runes are beginning to glow. You can also see that there's some like mechanical instruments that are beginning to move about as if like flexing as you're all sprinting through this tunnel. As you hit the final door, the doctor. It's another, not as big this time though. It's a much smaller, the same kind of silver door that opens in the middle. The doctor goes to the left and begins to punch in a code. And all right, I'm disabling everything. If they're smart enough to survive somehow, they shouldn't be able to get through this door ever. I think we'll be safe if we get through here.
Think.
I don't fucking know. I have never dealt with this kind of thing.
Just make it happen and we'll deal with what happens on the other side. Come on.
I sit on the doctor's shoulder.
The smaller set of silver doors in front of you swings open and a huge plume of smoke, black smoke, just whooshes into the tunnel, almost blinding you for a good 5 seconds as just such a massive amount of black smoke fills this now tunnel. Get in there!
Is it better now or worse? Than... Fine.
We have to keep going down. There's nowhere to go but down.
I'm going to listen to the doctor on this one.
Yeah, Wyatt grabs the doctor and push and go through the door. And technically, Julius and Damien as well have both dragged through the door.
Julius is like, do not touch me.
Virian, I'm assuming you're also going through the door. I'm sorry, Avery. No, you already said it, Virian. I'm sorry, Avery.
Yeah.
Awesome. You are the last one, Avery, who kind of dives through these doors as they do slam closed behind you. And you hear behind you, like, that warming up sound. You just hear, like, that woo. As like the tube behind you, what it's made of is like semi-translucent, so you can't really see through like perfectly through it, but you can definitely see now inside there is like lights on inside, as at the other end you suddenly start hearing screams, as you can hear like furnace level like fire like going off somewhere in this tunnel. But with that, you all now stand in front of another floor. You've made it to diagnostics. Can you make me all a constitution check?
Okay.
It's only a 10.
15.
7.
21. We'll take that.
Avery, Wyatt, you both began hacking and coughing. The long...
DM, just to quickly check. Obviously, my character wouldn't have known this originally, but I don't need to breathe anymore. Would I notice it? I just want to check.
Wyatt and Avery. Avery, you inhale a whole bunch of this thick black smoke that's around you. Your eyes don't adjust at all, and all you can still see is just smoke everywhere. Avery, as you begin to cough and you suck the smoke in, you realize that nothing really happens when you inhale the smoke. And the cough was more a, you know, brain reaction than your body actually reacting to it.
What's new?
Wyatt, you, however, are going to be making any perception checks for the next probably half an hour at disadvantage due to the amount of smoke that is in your eyes at this moment. Irian and Damien,
okay.
Both, however, just... You were in an explosion recently. You've been in a hellscape of a necromancer's lap. You guys have been through the shit already. This is just some fiery smoke, and you're a couple quick coughs and just kind of wave the black smoke away from your eyes as you look around, and I will send you the floor layout to the group chat. You are currently standing in front of another huge nurse's station. You can see behind the station all of the like computers and all of those kind of things are just ripped asunder, and there's just everything is just destroyed behind this nurse's station. But as you look around you, you can see all of these massive pod-like structures that are built. And the doctor looks about. Those are specialized instruments we use to figure out what's wrong with anyone who's here. And as you keep looking about, you can see that multiple of these pods are clearly on fire, as there is black smoke pluming out of multiple, and it's covering this entire floor in a thick layer of it. And even though you succeeded on those constitution checks, it is still a bit difficult to breathe in this area due to just how much smoke is radiating throughout this whole area. And as you are still standing here, you can hear there is more and more screams coming from behind you, mixed with the chaotic laughter from the tunnel right behind you.
Turn back and go, well, that went well.
How about we keep moving?
Sound idea, Vivian. So, Doctor, where to next? You say straight down to pharmacy?
Yes, I was really hoping there would be something in one of these nurses' stations that could assist any of us in some healing. As you see him wipe away some blood from his face as well. Like, the doctor is not looking great. And you can see that he, like, his hands glow. I mean, I can't keep doing this all day. I need to find one of these stations has to have something in it. And you see him kind of stagger forward and open like one of the like sliding parts of the counter of this nurse's station and begin rummaging around behind the station.
Can I aid him in trying to find something?
Sure. Make me an investigation check.
Okay. That is a natural 20. Plus 2.
Wyatt, you immediately clock a first aid kit that has been like shoved under the desk, and you reach forward and grab it, and as you open it, it's empty.
Lol.
Son of a... I guess now what is shoved under the desk. Sorry, Doc.
You can see him furiously just like throwing, you know, piles of stuff out of the way, like digging through the desk area and just opening like different cupboards and drawers behind this nurse's station. I can't believe there's nothing left. What is going on here? Are they taking it?
I suppose when they need to, they've had to use it. I mean, bear in mind, what we had to do up there, God, what they have to do with down here.
Nothing. It's nothing. You see him kick over one of the few like remaining like standing chairs that was behind this nurse's station.
Said there was a pharmacy nearby.
Yes, the pharmacy is one floor below us and is much heavier guarded clearly than these nurses' stations would be. I don't have access to the pharmacy. I don't know if we'll be able to get into the pharmacy.
Question from a DM. Is one of those, is that map on one of those boards like we've been seeing throughout the hospitals we go down sort of thing?
What do you mean?
You know, like when we've gone down to each level sort of thing, we've seen like a map of
the like the floor plan, like of the whole hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on there. It, you know that diagnostics, it goes general care, diagnostics, the pharmacy, and then the pharmacy goes down to the main floor with the lobby. And then below that would be the cafeteria. And then below even that is the laboratory.
Okay. Doctor, would that teleporter be any help at all?
We can check to see if they're functional at all. They operate on the same power as the rest of the hospital, and when we go into lockdown, those are generally, I would assume they're turned off.
Maybe, but why at that point looks at his morpher and then looks back at the look at the teleporter, I might be able to power it. It would probably take everything I got, as it were, but it might have enough to send one of us down there.
The pharmacy. Just use the stairs.
I'm just saying, if he can't get in, it may be enough to send one of us inside to open the door.
Oh, no, the teleport, those only will take you to the other circles on each floor. They're only used for transportation between the floors.
Okay. There's no idea.
I vote we just go down as fast as possible to get to this lab we're going to.
Are you still in bird form saying that?
No.
Okay, thanks. That would have been Faith walking the whole time.
You wouldn't be able to understand me.
Avery, Virian, and Damien. You guys haven't moved yet, have you? You guys are just still standing in front of that door? Or did you guys move up?
I'd assumed we'd have started walking a bit further in by now, but...
I probably haven't moved because, you know, mass murder of dozens of poisoned people is kind of fascinating to Damien.
Avery, did you move?
I probably would have looked at one of these diagnostic suites.
Sure, you want to look into one? Do you want to go left or right on the sheet? I'll tell you, neither of the ones right next to you are on fire.
Yay.
Probably go down left. Just look around the left path of them.
All right, Avery, you're going to go to the left and you're going to look at that first diagnostic suite right there.
Yeah, just take a look at them.
Awesome. You can do that. You can make me an investigation check. Damien, as you are still standing there just kind of listening to everyone talk and figure out what to do next, and you keep saying, I think we should just keep going down, but you haven't moved at all. Suddenly behind you on the silver door, you begin to hear doom, doom. A single fist began pounding on it before another fist joins in the pounding, and another.
Are they and another burning?
Well, I'm going down the stairs. Bye.
As the screaming and cackling is quite loud at this point, even to all of you right here.
Let's go.
Yeah, Avery, let's go.
Avery, what'd you get on that investigation check?
A 16.
Avery, you open this suite door, and it's a sliding door, so as you slide it open and you step inside, you see a massive piece of machinery that you have never seen before in your life. It has screens on it and all sorts of different like poking prods and different medical instruments that seem to be coming off of it. But as you're looking at it, what catches your eye about all of this machinery in here is it looks like pieces of it are missing, and not in the way that something would be missing as if someone's taken it. It looks like hunks and pieces of this machinery are actually like missing, as if something either like ripped it out with their bare hands or took a bite of it or something. Like there's just pieces of this like machinery in this diagnostic suite missing.
Can I check one more and then I'll join the others?
You do hear the thumping and it is getting much louder. The rest of you, are you planning on running towards the left set of staircase or the right set of staircase on the bottom of the map?
My attention was one to the left, so that's probably where I would be going to naturally, because that's the side that AFV was on.
That's the one then.
All right, awesome. I need you all
fine.
To... 2 out of 3, I'm sorry, Damien. You could turn into a bird and fly the other way if you want.
I could, but you'd probably have, I don't know, a Venus flytrap on the wall eat me or something.
Dr. Dorian comes out the left side of the nurse's station and you all begin to make your way down this path to make your quickest way. I will tell you right now that the other diagnostic suites, these that are going to be in front of you, are all currently on fire. And I need all of you to make me dexterity checks. And Avery, you can check. The only other diagnostic suite that you see is not on fire in front of you is the one that is in the corner of the room, all the way to the left.
Does it sound, how long does it sound like before they're going to make it through the door? Like, can I tell by the noise they're making how long they have?
All you can hear is the thud of a lot of fists hitting against this metal door. And also now you can see that the walls of this tube seem to be shaking a little bit.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to chance I'll join the office.
All right, then you can make me a dexterity check.
Acrobatics or just straight dexterity?
Just dex. Straight dex.
That is a 15.
22. I'm assuming I'd make one too.
I'm sorry, what was that, man?
Same as Alex. 15.
You all begin to sprint 30, 60, 90, 120, 150, 200, 300 feet. It's just, these floors are massive. They would be a city block in most places. And you just keep running. You're running by these on fire diagnostic suites. You can hear electronics from the inside sizzling and popping as the smoke around you just continues to billow. And you can, you're all coughing as you're trying to run through it. And Damien, as you pass by the last suite by the teleporter, as you're running, suddenly out, boom, the door slides open and you get tackled by a flaming zombie. And you suddenly have a flaming elf face in your face as it's trying to bite you. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw at disadvantage.
Yep. Oh, my dice want to be nice. Dirty 20.
Damien.
One of those was a 21.
This laughing, flay on fire elf lunges forward for your neck, and you manage to move your neck, but not enough. But instead of it being able to chomp down, you feel an odd, like, energy, like, envelop your neck where your scar used to be, and it just, like, pings off of you almost as it just stares down and instead now just reaches for your neck with both of its hands. And I need you to make me a second dexterity saving throw at disadvantage. And after this, all of you will be able to do something if you would like.
8.
Damien, you know, your neck was protected, it seems, and you're also taken aback by this happening, and you don't know what to do when suddenly these two long, spindly hands just are immediately around your throat, and you feel the breath, which was already hard to breathe in this area, just,
I don't need to breathe.
You don't need to breathe. That's right. Everyone doesn't need to fucking breathe in this campaign. I forget about that.
I've never needed to, okay?
Yeah. That's fine. You don't need to breathe and you give him a dirty look, but the hands are still quite strong. And you do take 4 points of bludgeoning damage from just your windpipe being constricted by these two very powerful elf hands.
Ow, but fuck you.
DM.
Yes.
Since I was in one of the chambers, so I was probably at the back of the line. I was probably close to the back. Would I have seen that?
You would have seen this. I would say you're Virian and Wyatt, you're both about 15 feet away from this happening. Avery will say you're 15 feet, but you're behind the situation. And Dr. Dorian is at the front of the pack, a good about 35 feet in front of you.
Seeing this...
I mean, can I act if he's on me?
You're currently grappled with it around your throat. You can try and break the grapple after whatever they're going to do for with a strength check at disadvantage.
Seeing this, could I run back and use one of my free slots from Shadow Touch to cast Inflict Wounds on it, just like as it's distracted by him, just like a bit round the head and just cast Inflict Wounds on it?
Yeah, you have to touch it to cast Inflict Wounds, but you definitely can do that.
Yeah, so just run back up to it and grab it.
Yeah, so you were behind, so you actually just see this happen. You stop for a moment and Avery sprints forward and you just grab this on fire elf with your hand. I will say, since it's throttling Damien, you don't even have to roll to hit. You can just roll the damage for it.
Right, so that's 3d10 because it's level 1.
Inflict Wounds is lovely. Oh,
gotta love a spell that does 3d10 at level 1. That's 2 tens and a 7, so 27.
Damien, as you're being throttled by these hands, you suddenly see this Asimar sprint forward, and with their metal arm, they just right on the back of the throat of this on fire elf, and you just see different colored runes kind of like black down the arm before it just goes into this elf, and it goes from and it just suddenly stops laughing altogether, and the static in the eyes just goes out completely as you're just holding now an on fire elf with your arm. You are still going to take 6 points of fire damage from this, because having to get this close, you just feel the fire wicking up against you.
Am I on fire as well?
You were not, because the elf was holding you down with their hands, which weren't on fire. Skin doesn't burn as fast, so the hair and the clothes that Avery was closest to is what burned him.
Yeah, as I do that, I just chuck it to the side, so obviously I'm not, like, holding fire right up to me.
Yeah, Avery just, with that, still, the massive, you know, this silver, you know, arm that you have never seen before is quite powerful. It's quite awesome, actually, in a lot of ways, as you just kind of hug this corpse back.
I do offer Damien a hand up. I don't say anything. I do offer Damien a hand up.
Thank you.
Well, we're all in this together, so
let's just keep going before something else tries to break my neck, because apparently it's always the fucking neck.
Oh, I mean, anything can happen here, let's be honest. And I'll continue.
I mean, apparently my part of my neck is magically protected from them biting me, so
oh, that's useful.
We're saying this whilst running.
Yeah, I assume. You also, Virion and Wyatt, you all saw this clearly happen. But then you all turn tail and you keep sprinting towards the left staircase. Please all make me one more dexterity check.
Have I made it clear that I hate Ulfham?
No, but it shows.
16 plus 4 again, so dirty 20 again.
Dirty 20. 16.
19, thankfully.
14.
You all manage to just keep sprinting the last 150 feet around another flaming diagnostic suite, heading to the stairs. You all stop at the top of the stairs, the doctor waiting for you. Okay, once again, I don't know what waits for us down a floor below. There's only two entrances to the pharmacy. They're on the middle of both sides, and they have the same kind of sanitation technology as is right there. I don't know if we'll be able to get in, but we desperately need help. And if we can get in, we will be safe.
Can I turn around and basically quickly blast with fireball anything that's not on fire to try and make like a wall? So when they do break through that door, there's at least a wall of fire in the way.
Definitely. What's the range on a fireball?
120 feet.
All right, yeah. You target the other last remaining diagnostic suite that you see isn't on fire, and launch a firebolt just very casually as you're the doctor's talking. And you can hear the sound of the banging against the tunnel is actually getting louder. And you can also now hear a different kind of banging. It's some kind of like a plastic sound of cracking or some kind. It's different than the silver and the sound of metal being clanged against.
I'm going down the stairs. Bye.
Wyatt follows, because Wyatt thinks that the tube breaking.
Go.
Everyone thinks it's the tube breaking.
Let's just fucking go.
Detective Wyatt Stanton, everybody.
He's not wrong, to be fair.
True.
Probably.
Probably not. Awesome. All right. You all make your way down the stairs. The five of you make your way down a smaller staircase than last time. This is not nearly as grand, but still, it's a good 30 feet wide, and it kind of winds as it goes down. The thumping and pounding still coming from behind you, you can hear. And as you go down, though, the smoke begins to clear. You make your way into much cleaner air. And now, once again, the only light on the floor is the flashing of the yellow warning signs all that line the walls. The main light's turned off still. You reach the bottom of the stairs and it's quiet here on the pharmacy floor. And Dr. Dorian begins walking forward quietly. And I need you all to make me stealth checks.
Yes, the two warlocks that are such good at stealth.
That's a 19 all in.
Aim. Our dice decided to bless us.
18 squad.
That is
why it's also there.
14.
Yep.
You all begin to make your way down this hallway. You see around you the pharmacy itself. In front of you is a massive, like, looks like built-in building on this floor. As the wall in front of you goes from floor to ceiling, there's no space at all at the top. And it looks like a brick structure within this actual floor. You find yourself kind of on a walkway that goes around this massive structure. And as the doctor leads you, you pass by a huge, looks like glass pane window, but also has many runes and other kinds of things carved into it. And you can see as you look at it that it's what some would call a reception area, where you can see there's a spot where someone could slide something through or slide something out. And behind in this first one, you can see that there are medications and such lining the inside of this windowed wall as you pass the first one. To your left, a toppled over vending machine lies, its contents strewn all amongst the floor as you eerily walk down this seemingly deserted floor. The sound of your feet, the only thing that's making any noise, and the constant on-off of these yellow warning lights.
Varian.
Yes?
Could I have one of those potions you got?
Tap my pocket. Yes, of course. Here you go. I'm so sorry, I forgot I actually had them.
It's fine. I didn't really realize how close I was to a fourth death until a flaming elf decided to try and strangle me.
She's not all like that.
Since you never thought you'd hear on duty today. You read died
like,
three
does
times.
Does it have like a stopper?
Yeah, like with a thumb, pop the stopper. Doubt it.
It's 3d8 healing.
That's when the dice are like 1, 1, 1. Oh, my dice have mercy. 15. Nom.
What did
fucking
you say,
double
Wyatt?
Digits.
You've died three times?
Yeah. once in my old world, once getting to here, and during that explosion. It gets less fun the more you do it.
I'm going to assume by that statement you've only died once.
Oh, remember when we only died once?
Technically, I haven't.
Well, if you ever get your throat slit by marauders and left abandoned on a country road, let me know.
Noted. Well, I actually note that down in his notebook. It's always good to remember things about Wyatt.
If get murdered on country road by marauders, call Damien.
Yes.
Even though you don't have his number. Don't even know if he has a last name. We'll never find him.
You keep moving, and you finally make your way by this first massive, like, window, and there's a little bit of brick before another massive window begins as you keep walking. Can I get you all to make perception checks, please?
17.
24.
16.
17. All of you suddenly hear BAM! As you hear just a thwack against this window as you turn to the right, and you see a small halfling with static eyes and a wide smile and a red like set of scrubs on with a little pharmacist name tag as he's he's like banging against this window, staring at all of you. What in the fuck?
Is that Doctor, I know that you don't have actually in there. You said that. Do you know how many there usually are inside that room?
Each one of the rooms is... Those are all sealed. They're self-contained. It's for security. You see... And he, like, points at behind the, like, halfling who's beating on the glass. And you can see behind this... A pneumatic tube system that supplies most of the medicine from the central area of the pharmacy that's run by the pharmacist in charge. All of these are just for the people to get their medication, but they're all sealed from both sides. So when you're in there, you can't get out or no one can get into it. So to prevent thieving of any kind of the medications we give out. How many are actually in there? I have no idea.
Damien?
Yes?
I've been taking note of your abilities and...
Creepy.
To be fair, you've been doing in front of me. It's hard not to take note. You're able to merge with your wonderful animal companion.
With my spirit raven, yes.
Is it possible to get in there without them noticing you?
I mean, he could probably go in a different one of these pods because they all have like the bit where you can hand things underneath, but I don't know if there's any runes in the way. Try sending him in on his own. I am not merging with him and going through there because it will probably murder me.
That's fair. Because I'm thinking that way, if nothing else, he could maybe find a way for us to get in safely.
All else fails, he can probably just drag medicine out one by one.
If that's... Thing is, we're going to have company before too long for sure.
I mean, yes, if it doesn't work the first time, I'm going downstairs, so.
Are you all just still...
unaccompanied pod.
So you're just going to move towards the... back towards the one you saw there was... nothing in?
Yeah.
Okay. As you move back towards the other pod, suddenly as you get back to it, there's now two sets of hands, and then four sets of hands, and then six sets of hands, as you see two half-orcs and a Kenku with static in their eyes, and the half-orc smiling, and somehow even the beak of the Kenku seems like it's twisted into some kind of odd bird-like grin as they're beating on the glass.
I'm gonna try sending Julius like under, like, you know, like the divot where you can get meds through.
Yep.
It's about the same size as a bird, kind of squidging himself through. I'm trying that without merging into him, because if there's runes and things and it disapparates him, fine.
Yeah, you see Damien, you send Julius, and Julius lands on the counter in front of the small divot for giving or receiving of items. And as Julius lands on the counter, suddenly two sets of spotlights turn and illuminate your whole party from the like top corners of this huge brick structure. And you suddenly hear, "Oi, the hell you guys think you're doing?" Who or what awaits the gang inside the pharmacy? Are they friend, foe, or something else entirely? Will Damien ever stop being so mean to the doctor and the whole rest of the party? Probably not. But you can find out next time on Escape from Wolfhelm. This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.